I thought I would bring the nation's preeminent expert on the program to discuss this yet again. Barack Obama knows nothing about guns, about the Second Amendment, about gun control, about any of the statistics related to it. Like everything else, he's driven by ideology. John Lott, President, Crime Prevention Research Center. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Good to talk to you again, Mark.
John, good to talk to you. Before we get started, I want to remind people that for a brief period of time, you and Obama taught at the same university. Please explain.
Right. Well, we were, for a period of 4 years, we overlapped. He was a part-time lecturer there, and
Well, let's stop right there. So he wasn't a full-fledged tenure professor, was he, at the University of Chicago?
No. I mean, people knew when he was brought on that it was just a temporary position. In fact, there were some senior faculty that were concerned that people might be attempting to get him a regular position. And it was made clear that he was going to be running for public office and that having...
This was a way station.
Right. That having a part-time lectureship allowed him a lot of time to be able to go out and campaign. And he didn't have to do research because he wasn't going to try to publish anything. And so, you know, teaching 3 hours a week, preparing for that class, the rest of the time he could go and campaign.
And your dealings with him, because you knew him, you met with him, you weren't fast friends, obviously. What was he like?
He's pretty cold. I mean, he was someone that if he disagreed with you, you got the impression that he really viewed you as evil. And I don't think he liked me particularly. In fact, I know he didn't. I mean, it was just, look, obviously I was very conservative on any of the college campuses I've been on. And but I'm used to people disagreeing with me. I mean, you may have 90%, it would seem, of the faculty being liberal at many of these places, but at least a lot of them enjoy debating with you. So, you know, people that you know, like Cass Sunstein, I don't agree with Cass on hardly anything, but we had Cass over for dinner a number of times. He'd come over, we'd argue, we'd be still arguing 4 hours later, you know. And but it was the process that he enjoyed. But Obama wasn't like that at all. Obama, if he disagreed with you, and I assume he didn't think he could get anything from you, he just was rude. I'll give you one example I don't think I've told you about before, and that is he never went to the seminars, really, except for one time. And it was a
lot. Well, what does that mean? What seminars?
Well, faculty have seminars where somebody comes in and gives a paper, and the faculty listen and they ask questions. And Obama asked a question. And I don't think hardly anybody understood the question. I thought I might understand it. And so when we were kind of getting in line for lunch, I was standing next to him. And I said, I thought it was an interesting question, but I thought maybe it might have been clearer to the speaker if he had. And then before I could even finish, he just turned his back on me. You know, that was kind of it. You know, he wasn't even interested in talking. I was just trying to be helpful at the time. And
it's the way he treats, say, Netanyahu.
Right, probably. It just, you know, there were times when I'd run into him kind of outside of the campus down in Hyde Park, and you'd try to reach out and shake hands just like you would anybody from the faculty. And, you know, he wouldn't do it. He just would ignore you, just walk by. And it was, I just try to be friendly with people, but he would have nothing of it. So back in the 2008 campaign, when you and I first started talking about this, I'd gotten a call from a New York Times reporter because she was doing a story about Obama back at the University of Chicago, and people would say, "Oh, you got to talk to Lott." So she called me up, and I tried to explain these types of things to her, but Obama's campaign just denied any of it had happened, and so the New York Times didn't include any of the stuff that was in there. But it was, I mean, I must talk to her for like an hour and a half or something.
Well, of course, she didn't fit the template, and they're the Praetorian media, and they're not going to touch their man. John Lott, you've given us insight into Obama, and it underscores what most of us have thought about him as we've observed him. He said today he's been president 7.5 years. By my calculation, he's been president closer to 6.5 years.
Right.
All right. Anyway, I want to get into this gun stuff because it's important. He keeps saying over and over and over again, we're the only Western country that has these mass shootings. Can you address that, please?
Well, I mean, if you adjust for population size, I mean, we have about 320 million people in the United States. Most European countries, you know, you may have Germany, which may be 80 million, but a lot of countries, maybe 4 million or 8 million.
Yeah, we have the population maybe of all Western Europe put together.
Right, exactly. And so, I mean, they're a little bit bigger than we are if you put all the countries of Western Europe together, but it's or Europe together, but you know, it's similar. And so if you do it on a per capita rate, Europe actually has a mass public shooting rate fairly similar to the rate that we have here in the United States. And there are 9 countries that have a higher rate per capita than we have. You know, you have Norway has had the worst mass public shooting by an individual. They had, if you ignore the bombing deaths, they had 67 people killed and 110 wounded in the attack.
And does Norway ban weapons or have very strict limits on weapons?
Well, the handgun that was used in the attack was banned.
And, let me just get that straight. So the handgun was banned, and the guy slaughtered with a variety of weapons 67, 68 human beings.
It was mainly with the handgun that he killed most of the people. But
and they were unarmed, and he just kept loading it up, didn't he?
That's exactly right. He went to a place where it was an island, and he figured he'd have free reign for a while because nobody else would have a weapon there, and he took advantage of the situation. You can look at Germany. Germany has had 2 of the 5 worst public school shootings for K through 12 schools. They have a third one that would get them in the top 6.
And what are Germany's handgun laws like?
Well, in this case, they were used. He used a semi-automatic rifle, but that was banned. And he, in order to get a, he didn't. The killers in these cases did not legally obtain their weapons. To legally obtain a weapon in Germany, you have to go through 2 psychological screening tests. You essentially have to hire a lawyer to go and get it, and you can end up with a single-shot rifle where you have to manually load it each time you're going to fire a bullet.
That's so where did this guy get his weapon from?
He got it on the black market.
On the black market, right?
All 3 of the guys apparently got their guns illegally.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, if we were to outlaw guns in our country, just outlaw them.
Right.
We can't even stop people from coming across the border. We can't stop drugs from coming across the border. How in the world are we going to stop weapons and ammunition from coming across the border?
You phrased it exactly right. Look, let's say tomorrow you could, or right now, we could click our fingers and cause all illegal drugs to disappear from the country and all guns. How long do you think it would be before illegal drugs started coming back in? And how long do you think it would be before those drug gangs would start bringing in guns again to protect that valuable property? It's not like they can go and call up the police and say, this other drug gang stole our valuable drugs. Can you help get them back for us? They have to go and set up their own militaries. And the same time they're going to bring in the drugs, they're going to bring in the weapons that they need to protect them. And what most people don't realize is how much of our violence in the United States is drug gang related or gang related. The Obama administration itself, in a report that came out in 2009, claimed, I think this may be a little bit high, but they were saying that 80% of violent crime in the United States was gang related, and that's primarily drug gangs.
And what are they doing about that?
Well, not a lot.
Nothing.
One would think. And
I don't even believe he had a seminar at the White House about it. You know, he holds these seminars, but apparently that doesn't rate. But, you know, I've asked myself repeatedly, and I've said it on the air, these people come forward. The politicians jump on this stuff. They're like vultures. They move immediately. You know, they want to deny us of our Bill of Rights and so forth. And I say to myself, well, go ahead and propose a law. Can we read what it is that you would propose that would stop this nut job from murdering these people? They never do it.
Right. Well, there are 2 points to make. One is the laws that they have talked about these expanded background checks, when you see the support in the polls, it varies dramatically when you actually put a bill forward. So when you had the Toomey Manchin bill that was there, polls on that actually indicated that a majority of people opposed those laws. They were actually happy when it didn't get through the Senate. But when you have these kind of artificially written, you know, polls that kind of paint some ideal there and don't mention the costs that may be involved in these and the problems that are associated with these laws, you know, they get much higher poll numbers. The second thing is, again yesterday, even before we knew the facts about how the individual had obtained the gun, now we know, but the law that the president's been pushing wouldn't have stopped this. In fact, Oregon already has the law that Obama wants to have pushed. But the amazing thing is it's just not yesterday's attack. Every one of the public statement cases that Obama's made a public statement about, in that one single case, would the laws that he's been pushing have stopped even one of these cases. And yet he keeps on going out, even before we know the facts, saying, you know, we got to do something now. But if I was a reporter, I would just ask him, name me one of these cases that you've talked about that would have been actually stopped by the laws that you're putting forward.
It's also interesting now they point to Australia. Australia confiscated their guns from their citizens, didn't they?
Well, it's a little bit more complicated than that. What happened was in 96 and 97, they had a gun buyback. Now, you had to sell certain guns there, but then and it reduced the number of legally owned guns by about 33%. But then they put licenses in, and people were able to go and buy guns again. And the gun ownership right now in Australia is actually back to where it was before the buyback. And so if gun control advocates are correct, what you should have seen then is a big, sharp drop in something like suicides or different types of crime, and then an increase over time. And that's not what you've observed. And one of the big things they point out is firearm suicides, and they have fallen, but at a constant rate. And they were falling for a decade and a half prior to the gun buyback. In fact, at the same rate, you can't even see any change in the slope going down there.
John Lott, I have to take a break. I would like to bring you back. I'm only going to have a few minutes in the next segment. It'll be shortened. But please hold on. I'm with John Lott, president, Crime Prevention Research Center, the nation's foremost expert on weapons of this kind. That would not be Barack Obama, I can assure you. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
You know, maybe we can't stop time, but bags and puffiness under your eyes don't need to be there. And now, thanks to Genicel, you can definitely get rid of them. The new Genicel plant stem cell therapy for bags and puffiness under the eyes from our friends at Chamonix is doing just that for men and women all across this great country. Here's Josie from Littlefield, Arizona. I've been using Genicel for 2 weeks, and my husband's amazed. He says, all the puffiness is gone. I love this product so much, I want to use it on my entire face. Well, Josie, your husband can use Genicel, too. It works for men and women. In fact, with its instant effects, you'll see results in as little as 12 hours. Call 800-SKIN-604, 800-SKIN-604. Order Genicel right now and get the legendary Esotique Wrinkle Treatment absolutely free with your order. Genicel works, guaranteed, or your money back. 800-SKIN-604, 800-SKIN-604, that's 800-SKIN-604. We're back with John Lott, the nation's premier expert on guns and gun crimes and gun statistics. He's president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. So, John Lott, when the president says common sense gun control, I scratch my head. I mean, I have purchased many weapons. I purchased them at gun shows. I go to the gun show when I purchase them, assuming I'm not buying them from an individual, I'm buying them from a retailer. There's actually a fairly significant form I have to fill out. They send the form information into, I guess, the federal government, the FBI. The information comes back, and either I can leave with that gun or I can't.
Right. Yeah.
Isn't that a background check? What is that?
Right. Well, that's a background check. The current background check system is pretty much a mess. When the president goes, for example, and says...
All right, let me stop you there. I want to challenge you slightly there. You say it's pretty much a mess. Well, I can't get out of there with that gun unless it's approved. So how is that system a mess?
Well, because the people that they don't approve are people who should have been able to buy the gun. Virtually everybody who gets denied.
So you're saying there's too many people who are disapproved.
Right, exactly.
That's interesting. Go ahead.
About 99% of the people who are disapproved are false positives. The people who should have been able to buy it and couldn't. You know, I give you an example in a slightly different area. The late Senator Kennedy, Ted Kennedy, there were five times when he was on the no-fly list. Five times when there was somebody who had a similar name.
Well, listen to me. I'm not sure I disagree with that, given Chappaquiddick. That's just one man's opinion, but go ahead.
Right. Well, let's put it this way. The president wouldn't count those as five times we stopped a terrorist from flying. But that's essentially what he does when he says that there's 2.4 million initial or 2.4 million prohibited people prevented from buying a gun. He should say there are 2.4 million initial denials. Just because you stop somebody who has a name similar to a felon that you want to stop doesn't mean that you're actually stopping a felon. And so, you know, some people criticize Obama for not enforcing the gun laws, not prosecuting these background check denials. Well, it's because they're not real cases.
But let me give you some more examples. Some people may be convicted of crimes or plead to certain crimes that have absolutely nothing to do with violence.
Oh, sure. Right.
And they are denied a weapon, at least for a period of time.
Right. That's a different group of people. I mean, misdemeanors can deny you being able to buy a gun for life. Certain misdemeanors. And so, and one can talk about whether that should be permanent denial. Now we're running into situations where you have 4.2 million people on Social Security that the Obama administration want to classify as mentally defective because they go and get help on their finances. So if my mom, who's in her 80s, has my sister go and handle paying her bills on the computer because my mom doesn't want to do it, and my sister has to get power of attorney and stuff to take care of all this stuff, my mom could get classified as mentally defective and be unable to go and purchase a gun for self-defense.
Listen, that's because we have a wave of 85-year-olds going around shooting people.
Well, Obama sees the future better than I do on this, I guess. But
John Lott, you're terrific. Is there a place where people can find you quickly?
Yeah. CrimeResearch.org.
CrimeResearch.org, Mr. Producer. Let's put it on our massively followed social sites. CrimeResearch.org if you want more information, ladies and gentlemen. John Lott, you're a national treasure. I appreciate you coming on the program. I shall return.
He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.